Ecclesiastes chapter 10, again beginning at the first verse. This is the inspired, inerrant, and infallible word of God. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great errors to rest. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions, while the rich occupy low ones. I have seen slaves on horseback while princes go on foot like slaves. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, friends, as we continue on through Ecclesiastes chapter 10, it seems that no matter where the writer of Ecclesiastes, the preacher King Solomon looks, no matter where he looks at this world under the sun, he can find evil. He can find things that seem meaningless. Chapter 10 is a catalog of folly, a catalog of the foolish things that are done and seen under the sun. And this survey of a lack of wisdom continues here as we come to verses 5 through 7 tonight. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. He's speaking of those who have rule of some kind, a governor, someone who has a position of authority and power. But even from such, folly can come. Folly is no respecter of position. It's not the case that we just get a certain place in society or in life and we're somehow, because of that, free from folly. We're given authority. We're given some place of influence in the world. And just because of that position, we no longer do foolish things. That's not the way it is in the world. Here is a sort of error that arises even from a ruler. And what is it? Verse 6, fools are put in many high positions while the rich occupy low ones. It seems that foolish evil reproduces itself and gives rise to more evil mischief and trouble. The fool is put into a high place while the rich occupy low ones. And this observation from thousands of years ago is as current as yesterday's news. We see this sort of thing all around us, don't we? We don't have to look very far. Situations like this are still happening. You don't have to look far to see people in positions of authority who shouldn't be there. We see people rising in society and having positions of power and influence in many places in society. And we shake our heads and we say, how can someone like that have that kind of place in our society? I don't want to name names, but certainly if you think about it for a moment, it's not hard to find examples of that in our culture today. While others with real wisdom and truth and righteousness are disregarded and dismissed. Now, the rich are mentioned here. The rich occupy low places, low positions. The rich perhaps mention their riches as proof of their practical wisdom. They have a wisdom in this world that can produce wealth. Or perhaps, as some have said, what we're to think of here is someone who is rich in character, rich in endowments of mind, as one writer says, because the opposite here in this verse is the fool. Fools are put in many high places, while the rich. So whatever the connotation here is of a rich man, it's in contrast to the fool. Here's a person with real wisdom somehow, and he is in a low place. His wisdom isn't recognized. It isn't being rewarded. And this is what we see. Fools are put in many high positions. It's not just the cream that rises to the top. Driftwood floats too. Here is someone coming to the top that really shouldn't be there. And he goes on to give a practical example, a very vivid one from his culture and time. Verse 7, I have seen slaves on horseback while princes go on foot like slaves. Boys and girls, to ride a horse was a symbol of a high position, someone with wealth and power and authority. Do you remember in the book of Esther? Some of you know the book of Esther. In chapter 6, I won't tell the whole story, but if you remember Haman, who was a schemer and a proud man, when Haman entered, the king asked him, what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought to himself, who is there that the king would rather honor than me? So he answered the king, for the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn and a, what? A horse that the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on its head. Then let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes, and let them robe the man the king delights to honor and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. And so this is a position or a symbol of high position. I have seen slaves on horseback. It's again a reversal of what you think should be right and true and good. Proverbs 19:10 said, it is not fitting for a fool to live in luxury. How much worse for a slave to rule over princes? Things seem backwards. They seem wrong. They seem upside down. And it's the upside down nature of life often that Solomon saw and that we see around us today. Life's inequalities, life's reversals of what is right and good that could easily lead us, if that's all we saw, to a conclusion of meaninglessness and just evil. Were it not for God, were it not for Christ, and were it not for the gospel. Because as we hear this example again of folly, even in high places, these verses can help us think about great spiritual truths as well. Spiritual truths that apply to all men. And some truths and realities which should give great comfort and hope and encouragement for believers. Well, what can we see out of verses like this, seeing these verses as an illustration of the history of humanity? Well, boys and girls, you remember, man, as created by God, was created in true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Man was given wisdom in keeping with his high position. And he did have a high position. God gave to man and woman, created in his image, dominion over all the creatures and over the earth. He had a high position. Psalm 8, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. I don't know if Adam rode a horse in the garden, but he might have. And it would have been a fitting picture of his high position as the prince over creation. Man was in a high position, and God had given him wisdom so that he was a fitting ruler in the world that God had created. But when man sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, man became a fool. He exchanged the wisdom of God for the foolishness of sin. But in some respects, he was still in a high place as a human being on the earth. He was still given a human life to live. That's a position of great honor, a great responsibility. And yet now he's a fool. in sin. Here's a fool who's still in a high place. A human life, a human soul has been entrusted to his care. But he's a fool. Man on the throne of his life, so to speak, in a relative way, making choices and decisions every day, still having at his disposal so much image of God power and capability. And man in sin does still have that. Great intelligence, a great capacity to do great things. But now this image of God power and capability in his high position is employed in foolish rebellion against God. And it's an evil under the sun. And yet God, in mercy and love, sends his son. Gives his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus Christ, the embodiment of wisdom. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the all-wise God-man. And he comes. But he comes born of a woman, born under the law. He comes, you remember, boys and girls, born and laid in a manger. He lives a life as a man of sorrows and acquainted with suffering. Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. The one who is rich, who for our sakes became poor, while the evil powers and authorities judged and condemned him to death on the cross. Can't we think of Christ when we read, fools are put in many high positions, while the rich occupy low ones. I have seen slaves on horseback, while princes go on foot like slaves. It's a picture of man in sin, seeking to rule himself and to rule the world, and the humiliation of the all-wise Son of God. He came poor and humble, riding on a donkey in his humiliation. Prophesied in Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. And that's a picture of his humiliation as he comes to suffer and to die. And he does. He's crucified on a cross. Dead and buried. But the Bible tells us one day he'll come again. He's raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. He will come again, not in humiliation, but in the exaltation he now enjoys, having been seated at the right hand of God. And then we read in Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. And you see, in Christ, we see the reversal of the foolish rebellion of sin. He had to come as our representative, the one who is wise but treated as one who is like a fool. And the reversal that we see in Christ, prophesied there, foretold in the book of Revelation that he will come in exaltation, riding in a horse, and things will be right again. The one who is wise will be riding the horse. The one who ought to occupy the high position is occupying it and will occupy it forever. But all that that we see in the life of Christ, we remember, was for us and for our salvation. It was for his people. So that gospel reversals of the fall could take place in and for those united to Christ by faith. And this is what we read, for instance, in Psalm 113:7-8. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with the princes of his people, because that's who they are in Christ, who has made for them wisdom from God in God's redemption. And we see the reversal. They are princes. They've been raised up. The world says of the gospel and says of the church, this is foolishness for fools. But it's the wisdom of God. And God will see to it that his wisdom is vindicated. Remember Esther? Haman? Esther 6:10. As we continue the story, go at once, the king commanded Haman, get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai, the Jew. Oh, I would have loved to have seen Haman's face. Do exactly what you said. Someone deserves to ride a horse today. Someone deserves to be honored today. But it's not you, Haman. It's Mordecai. It's Mordecai the Jew who sits at the king's gate. Have him stand and seat him on a horse. Do not neglect anything you have recommended for the man that God wants to honor. And so you see, in Christ, in the gospel, we are wise. We have the wisdom of God, and we are rich in the riches of the gospel. Remember the Christ who was rich, but who for your sakes became poor, that so through his poverty you might become rich. And that's true in Christ. We need to believe that on the word of God. But everyday providence, the way things are in this world still, may not reflect that high position that we have in Christ yet. Not all believers are honored in life as Mordecai was. God says in Isaiah 40:23, he brings princes to naught, to nothing, and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. And he does that at some times in some places, but it's not a completed thing. Not all the sinful, foolish rebellion of man has been put down. There is still folly in high places. There are still those who see the church and see Christians as fools and hate Christ and hate the church who are in high positions. It hasn't been completely worked out yet and effected yet. Not everyone in a high place who is still spiritually lost and foolish has been removed. And this is what we have to confront and work through in life and live through very often. And so as we come from a passage like this, both the gospel of Christ and a believer's true position in Christ must come together in our thinking with what we still see to one degree or another under the sun. And remembering those two things, I hope will lead us to several practical applications that as we see these verses through the lens of Christ and his gospel, that we'll see the way that this practically works out. Well, what are some practical applications? When we read, fools are put in many high positions while the rich occupy low ones. I have seen slaves on horseback while princes go on foot like slaves. First, high position is no sign of salvation or wisdom. High position is no sure sign of wisdom or salvation. Fools are put in many high positions. Now, there are many things that we could draw out of that. But here's one. Don't assume that someone who has a good job and who has a position of influence and authority in our culture, in our society, doesn't need to hear the gospel. Sometimes we think that, I think. We think, who needs the gospel? Well, the drunkard in the gutter. This person over here whose life has just been ruined by drugs or immorality or whatever it is. They need the gospel. But you know, our neighbor who has a good job and a nice family and his life seems happy and everything, are we as inclined to think of that person and think they're as lost as the man in the gutter? But they are. Fools can be in high positions. When we are called to pray for leaders, as we are in Timothy, 2 Timothy, the first prayer should be for their conversion. For their conversion. Because just because you have a nice office or a fancy chair, even on Parliament Hill, you can be lost as every other lost sinner in this world. High position is no sign of wisdom or salvation. Secondly, and it's a sort of the other side of the coin, low position is no sure indication of a lack of dignity or relationship with God. Low position is no sure indication of a lack of dignity or relationship with God. I think we need to remember that in a very general way, even. The poor and those in low places are still image of God people. They're still image of God people. And in that sense, they are equal to each one of us. Never look down on a fellow human being, no matter what his job is or what his life is like. And remember that God often chooses the weak and the foolish to shame the wise. And there may be someone from the world's point of view and the world's standards who is just totally insignificant and who has the lowest of low positions in this world, who may be a prince or princess of God in Christ. Do you remember Luke 16? At the gate of the rich man was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Low position is no indication, no sure indication of someone's true dignity or relationship with God. So beware of favoritism. Beware of favoritism in the church. This is what James says in James chapter 2. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here is a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand here or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? If there's someone in our congregation who is of a low position and who is just maybe on the low end of the spectrum, or if God brings people to our congregation from those places in life, how are we going to receive them if they're believers? In Christ, there is neither slave nor free, man nor woman, rich or poor. They're all one in Christ Jesus. And we ought to say, my brother, my sister, no matter what their position in life is. And thirdly and lastly, I think there may be an application here and a call for us to be content with humble circumstances. This is what he says. Fools are put in high positions while the rich occupy low ones. I have seen slaves on horseback while princes go on foot like slaves. Be content if your circumstances are humble. Now, there's nothing wrong with bettering our lot or our position in life by any lawful means, according to the Word of God. But like Paul, through Christ who gives us strength, we can do all things and we can be content, whether we abound or whether we are in want. Tara was telling me a few things from the women's Bible study. This is what you've been considering. In this life, if you are to be exalted, and some Christians are, let God exalt you in His time and in His way. And if He doesn't, be content in your humble circumstances. Luke 14:7. Do you remember the man? Jesus said when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited you both will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. And then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. Be content with humble circumstances. Know who you are in Christ. The greatest of all in God's kingdom often looks like the least of all. But the person who is secure in who he is or who she is in Christ is free to forget himself and to serve others. It won't bother him that he's a prince that has to go on foot. He won't covet the horse. He doesn't need the horse. He knows who he is. And it's okay. And that's how we ought to live, isn't it? Content, even if our circumstances are humble. Knowing who I am in Christ, I don't need a high position or the things which show my wealth and power and influence. I don't need to ride a horse. I can be content to go on foot. Even if I have to go on foot till the day I die, that's okay. And we know, don't we, that Christians in this life are often not only on foot, but even underfoot, as the rulers of this world often persecute the faithful. But God knows. God knows who His people are. And He sees. And He remembers, for the Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants. He will, sooner or later. Revelation 5:10 says, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. God will vindicate His people. And it's all because of our great Savior. It's all because of Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.